I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
I'm asking you to do exactly what you just did.
Oh, I thought you were saying let's not do that.
No, I said let's do it.
Oh, okay, right. I thought you were, when you were referring to it, you meant not,
not that.
Not it. I hope this is the ad. That's a great ad.
Should we just start again?
No, let's keep going.
No, people are definitely
going
to skip this.
No, the whole point
of this was
But now they're intrigued, Alistair. Right? They're going to want to know what is it that's so important that we fucked it up this badly.
Okay. August 1st, 2nd, and 3rd, we are performing Magma at the Butterfly Club in Melbourne. The year is 2019.
This is a... if you're hearing this, we are still alive. There is still human life on this planet.
And tickets are still available.
Oh, yeah. More importantly, tickets are still available. The Butterfly Club, 7 o'clock. If you get in early, if you get this, if you book the second you hear this, you'll get a massive discount for the early bird ticket. So absolutely get on board with that. There is a link in the description. Okay, that's the plug out of the way. Now on with the ad. This episode is brought to you by Harry's Razors or Shavers. We still don't know. It's been 2 years. I think they're just
called
Harry's.
They refuse to tell us.
And more importantly, we refuse to listen. And anyway, they are supporting the podcast. So support the razors that support the podcast, or shavers. And they are very high quality. I shave with them. It improves my quality of life.
I shave even after I've just shaved. That's how pleasant it is to shave with them.
And not an indication of the unsatisfactory job they do the first time around.
No.
Because that is not the case.
Not at all.
No.
The only time they've done an unsatisfactory job is when I'm not using them.
This is how smooth the shave is. You feel like the blade is covered in tiny little hands which are plunging down through the follicles mm-hmm. to rip the hair out from the root. Right? In terms of the smoothness,
yeah.
Not in terms of the amount of pain.
Yeah, no. Because in terms of the amount of pain, it also feels like another hand is injecting painkillers into your face.
That's right.
And yeah. You're not feeling it at all.
Right, but then you still retain feeling and indeed, you know, function
yes.
in your face after this, what sounds like a traumatic experience, but also it's like there's another hand giving you a roofie so you don't remember any of the...
The
experience, so it's over and it's like a treat.
Another hand patting your back that even though you don't remember, there's still a comforting feeling.
That's right.
From the past, you go, I don't know what just happened. But I feel good about it.
And I'm going to fill the space with positive fake memories.
Mm-hmm. So, we'll be talking about this a little bit more later.
This is just the tease at the top. Harrys.com/thinktank. You know we're on Acast now, so there's every chance that they've also listened to like a pre-roll ad.
Oh my God.
And hello and welcome to Two in the Think Tank, the show where we come up with five sketch ideas. I'm Andy.
And I'm Alistair George William Trumbly Birchall. And sitting here in the tank, I guess we'll call it.
Yeah.
From a Sans Pants Radio.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Do you guys, is it radio?
Yeah.
Right.
Do you consider what you do to be radio?
No.
It is Jackson and Adam.
Thank you for having us.
Can the first sketch be millennia from now in an alien civilization, in a museum, this is the last remnant of humanity? The first 30 seconds of this podcast, this is all they have to know us by.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, if if that were to happen, they would presumably scan the podcast and try and recreate our physical form based only on the information.
And out of whatever they can find in the wasteland, i.e. tin and sand.
We believe they were made out of the last remnants of what was on their planet, radioactive form.
And using like radioactive sort of, you know, like holograms, but instead of light, it's sort of like gamma radiation. Sure. And then they recreate it on a stage. Mm-hmm. And it's just guys plugging razors or shavers.
Do they imagine we're one entity, not several different people? One entity with four voices?
Well, I think given the fact that we've compressed that this down to a mono track would probably leave them very little choice.
Yeah, right? Absolutely.
Like, they have to assume.
One central hub. Belly or whatever.
I heard one of the faces was grabbing its forehead like you during the ad.
Mm-hmm. One very upset head, yes.
I mean, is it an ad if it doesn't feel like you're crashing?
We do not know who this god was that they refer to.
Who supported the podcast?
Aliens maybe don't know what a razor is as well, or a shaver. That's going to be confusing for them.
I like aliens.
You're right, that's going to be confusing.
That's going to be the thing that they're going to have to nut out. What are they talking about?
And I do mean nut out.
Absolutely. Aliens are going to be... If we find hairy aliens, that is going to blow our minds. We are not ready as a species for hairy aliens.
You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
Mm. Nowhere in the literature has this been addressed.
We want smooth aliens. That's what the human being desires in its alien form.
Well, I see it as we either want completely smooth or completely hairy. Because if you... If an alien has hair, it's got hair everywhere, like Chewbacca.
That's right. Sure. An alien, like a grey alien with just a full head of hair.
A greylian.
A greylian, exactly.
Exactly.
Unsettling. Yep. Or an alien with a mustache. It's upsetting to look at, I think.
You think about it. Who is most realistically... Like, we're not going to get young aliens. We're going to get the grey nomad aliens. Mm-hmm. These are the aliens who've retired, who have gone on some sort of intergalactic caravanning trip.
Absolutely.
Right? And then sort of break down or... Or whatever it is, sort of become lost in the desert of space.
Of the cosmos,
And they're very interested in genealogy and things like that, so that's why they're like, oh, they find like a USB drive in some rock.
Ooh.
And then they try to recreate societies from it, because
the
they're interested...
The fossil of a USB drive.
The fossil of a USB, because they're interested in where they're interested in where the DNA from their planet...
Because
somehow we seeded that through sending off some, like, you know, golden record onto their planet, and then some skin cells from some NASA, you know, scientist seeded life on their planet.
Now, I'm just going to interrupt everyone here just for a second, just to see whether or not I actually am coming up on this microphone, because... Yeah, I am. Okay, everyone. Listeners, you are absolutely welcome for that auditory experience. I don't know what it is. I feel like I'm shouting, but all you guys are shouting more. And I'm looking at the levels, and they're not coming up to the extent to which I would want.
That's fine.
Which is, you want them to be peaking.
That's right.
Peaking and unlistenable.
Imagine if we had to pretend that we were doing this for the first time again.
What do you think it would do to... So you're imagining the aliens like grey nomads, right? Mm-hmm. And that made me kind of picture like when like people in like their RV arrive at like a tourist attraction, stop, get out, piss, and leave. Mm. What would that do to humanity's self-esteem if the aliens came, saw us, were like, meh, and left? I think it would ruin us as a species.
Did they piss here?
They came out. Where's the nearest bathroom?
They refill their sort of their tank with salt water.
Yeah. We're like, are you going to stay and give us any fancy technology? And they're like, no not really.
We realize that, like, in galactic terms, we are like a roadside sort of rest stop area.
Like our seas are salinated purely by aliens millennia ago for people to stop.
One of their kids needed to pee. It was really young, so the dad had to hold him behind the moon so that none of the passing cars could see.
Imagine aliens landing and being like, oh, you've filled our salt water with organic life, and like the way you might drain a tank, they just kill all the fish. Like, oh, we just want this pure and without life in it.
Sterilized.
That's going to be better for our ships.
I mean, it would make sense maybe that our oceans was just alien piss.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, it's the piss now.
Okay.
I think Jackson had it as like a fuel
source. Yeah, I had it as fuel.
Yeah, no.
Well, we don't know how the aliens work. Maybe they piss in the tank. and then they can reconstitute that into their ship.
Now, this is really getting into some speculative territory. This is after C. Clarke shit right here.
I mean,
they piss in the tank.
Factionally.
Philip K. Dick's piss fuel. His least celebrated short story ever written. Completely eradicated from the records. Nobody wants to read piss fuel.
Piss space catheter.
A very uncomfortable test that you were given after your personality quiz. Yeah.
Piss fuel.
Look, okay, I currently have aliens finding... Look, I mean, this. I guess this is a new thing, is that our planet is a...
Is a piss stop.
Is a piss stop.
It's a piss stop.
Earth.
Yeah.
What? When the aliens leave, how are we coping? Are we getting by? You know, like every day we know we are no good. We exist as a piss stop.
It feels like the next logical step in our gradual realization of our place in the universe. Because we used to think, you know, it was that the world was centered on the Mediterranean, and now we thought it was centered on the Earth. The universe centered on the Earth. Yeah. And it's centered on the sun. It's not centered on the sun. Blah blah blah. You know, and then this will be the ultimate. Well, maybe the ultimate conclusion.
Yeah, yeah.
You would hope. We can't get any lower. Yeah, absolutely. Maybe it'll be good for us to hit rock bottom.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. There's no direction but up. Yeah. Now. That's true.
I mean, we've never had a planetary low self-esteem. No. You know, like something that's hit us all at the same time and go, oh, we're really nothing. We're not special, first of all, because we're not as good as whatever this species is.
Absolutely.
But then also they treat us like garbage and they don't even want to, like... interact with us and engage.
We just see their back of their RV fleeing off into space. Mm. But I like that in a way that makes us the Galileos if this came true. We're making the claim right.
Galileo lived in a side room. Stop.
Okay, not humanity. We're not the Galileos. Like Galileo didn't sort of like have like the sun piss on him.
He wasn't imagining that the sun was pissing on Earth. No.
Here's a great visual for when we do this as an animation or whatever it is. Okay, so the big ship comes down, right? Mm-hmm. The big galactic RV lands, right? And then we bring out our leaders, right? And we have them all arraigned there, all of the members of the UN or whatever, all standing there, all looking all nice, right? And meanwhile, on the side of the ship, we can see this glowing hatch, right, that flicks open, and then just all this piss and shit just... Mm-hmm. flies out all over our leaders.
Covering our leaders' hands extended.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Swamped in human... Well, no, alien waste.
Alien waste. And then it just goes... closes back up and they just take off again. And that's it.
That's great as well because that humiliates our leaders in front of the planet. Mm-hmm. That is a surefire way to create the end of the world right there. Well, I can't respect someone who's been covered in alien shit.
And this is going to be broadcast everywhere. Like, everyone is watching this. There's no coming back from that, really.
No. There's nothing we could do unless they all agreed to step down and someone else went in their place.
We really didn't show the precautions that you probably should take with an alien. Like a first encounter or whatever of sending all your most important people to the,
right
to
there.
The ship.
Just to stand by the hatch.
Hand out. Like, even if they did come out and just wanted, like, fighting, one like, hand-to-hand combat, this arm is so tired from being held up for so long, extended in a gesture of kindness.
Our leaders are only 50% fighting fit.
Oh, no, that was a strong arm. I mean, maybe the whole tradition... of shaking hands with your dominant arm was an idea planted here by the aliens eons ago just to weaken us for when they arrived.
They are playing an extremely long game for this eventual invasion attempt that seems to be based entirely on hand-to-hand combat.
Yeah, I'm loving these aliens. They're just coming out fists up.
They live a long time and they believe in just being in touch with their enemies. You know,
do you think maybe if they're trying to weaken us, then when we started developing hand-to-hand combat, they're like, no, we can't let them have that. Let's seed the idea that it should be children and they need to know karate, which will not be effective.
So you're saying that the dojos, like your shopping center dojos or whatever, are another alien idea so that
weakening us as a species.
But they're making our children strong.
Yeah, that almost doesn't make any sense at all, Adam. I don't understand how they're planned to train us from a young age to fight. fits into your...
But it's great to imagine the aliens landing and we send a troop of karate teens onto the ship. This is the exact opposite of what we wanted to have.
I feel like having done karate at a young age, that it definitely held me back from being... a good fighter. I mean, look, I have the stance.
All right.
And I have the spinning fist.
Sure.
Right?
Do you do submarine punches?
What?
Because I also did karate.
Wait, I would like to see submarine punches. Wait.
All right, I need to stand up.
Okay.
Okay. Adam's going to...
They're a low punch.
Oh, this has never happened in the podcast.
The name no. submarine
okay, we're
punch.
Getting some physical... We're getting combat happening here. Okay, show us.
Okay, so it's...
Okay.
Oh, the fists are low.
Oh my God.
Fists are just above waist height.
Do you
want
to punch?
Swinging back and forth.
I mean, it almost looks like he's doing a shimmy. Yeah. It's pretty close to a shimmy.
Yeah. If the hips were moving.
If the hips were moving, this would be a wedding dance that a 55-year-old would do.
That's I need to take my jacket off. I'm getting sweaty.
No. It's a fight designed to damage someone else's hips. So do you want to just punch someone's hip bone? Do the submarine punch.
It is, what's the part there that holds the sort of the penis area?
The pelvis? Bone?
Pelvis,
yeah.
The penis area.
The pelvis bone.
It's just designed, it's a part that doesn't get involved much in combat, the pelvis bone.
So quick survey.
Yeah.
Hands up here, or just say I if you did karate as a child. I
did not.
So,
confusing.
Do the three of us think that we could take an alien in a fight?
Absolutely not.
Yeah.
So
I don't think I could.
And so,
I mean, the phrase "an alien" is so impossibly broad.
I mean, look,
like it's almost like nothing at all. Like, it's like you said nothing.
Look, if we need to,
I would like to hear you guys say that yes, you think you could, because
I can't. I don't think I could.
Oh.
Well, I know it would be slimy and smooth, not hairy, right? And that sliminess would make my fist sort of slip off of its hip bones every time I tried to, you know, murder its pelvis.
So it has hip bones and a pelvis.
Imagine
if you hit one of those big gray-headed aliens and it came back up like a
clown doll.
They got that bounce.
They got incredible centrifugal.
They're spinning. They're always spinning.
What if they come back and hit us really hard? Maybe that's what they want.
Maybe that's how they're designed, to pivot. That's why they got such a big head.
I'm disoriented by the lack of grounding to this entire conversation.
Can we try and figure out...
Well, as soon as you accused somebody of not making sense, we had to double down on the lack of sense.
It was when Adam said, maybe that's what they want, in terms of us punching them in the head.
And then they come back and hit us. Like, really, like they're good
right.
at that.
But
right.
I have my fist ready.
We have to be prepared for that eventuality. Maybe that's what they want. I want you in the war room right there. When you know, 5-star General Jackson suggests punching them in the head, you say, maybe that's what they want.
Okay, we better not then.
How many wars would you have...
Back to the nukes, I guess?
How many wars could you have stopped out of being like, maybe that's what they want?
Total annihilation. Maybe that's what they want.
Maybe that's what they want. Let's not do it. See what happens.
Maybe we should just kill them. They go, no. I know I've said this before, but what if that's what they want?
Unconditional surrender?
The worry is we don't want to accidentally give in to their demands.
It'll make us seem weak.
Yeah. I'm imagining myself in the war room.
Yeah.
Think I've been quiet for a little while. And then I'm like, wait. What if karate was secretly what the Soviet Union wanted us to know?
Mm-hmm. I feel like you're a valuable asset to any war room.
I agree.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. Everyone needs like a devil's advocate.
Absolutely. Well, like, if we cross the Delaware at this time, they'll all be asleep in their tents. And then maybe that's what they want. Let's not do
it. Was that a genuine historical reference?
It was, which is a shock.
Yeah.
Where'd that come from? I couldn't even tell you.
Was that the...
Yeah, they crossed the Delaware because the fellas were sleeping in their tents, and it was like a time where they were going to wake up in the morning. Oh, no. I've left my comfortable area of knowledge, and now I'm speculating.
Now, while we're speculating, do you think there was one person, as they were crossing the Delaware, one person who said, Delaware, more like unaware, but really loudly, so it woke up all of them. But I mean, you couldn't begrudge him that, right? Because that's just there.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, even though you gave away the entire assault.
Yeah. As they're being riddled with bullets, I'm sure that's what they were saying. Like, George Washington.
You had to take it. It was there.
Yeah, George Washington gives him that scowl and then the shrug of like, well, you know.
George Washington's head explodes like as a musket ball rips through it.
Man, Washington crossing the Delaware is a less impressive painting if they're getting riddled with bullets.
I mean, it's probably a better painting.
Yeah, more exciting.
A bit of red in there.
Come on, it's more evocative, you know. Probably could see things in the sort of the cloud, the blood mist.
Well, everyone's doing their speculative history or their alternative history.
Yeah.
Or they're all literature.
Yeah.
You know, but we could do a bit of alternative history painting.
Yeah, I think so. What if Mona Lisa facing the opposite direction?
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Mona Lisa back of head in brackets.
Exactly. Or, you know, just Mona Lisa side on.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, like that. Like, what about 2D?
How would that have
what
fared?
About not drawn well?
Now we're getting into my comfort zone.
Bad Mona Lisa.
Yeah, but I like that original one where the Mona Lisa's facing the other way, because that implies a universe where every painting is from the opposite perspective.
That was how they did it back in the day.
Well, that's seen from the point of view of the painting. Yeah. You know, what about if you were the hill? Was there a hill in the background of Mona Lisa?
I think possibly.
I think so, yeah. The cow? How do you feel? It would be like a cow behind her or something?
I think there's a bridge.
What if you were the hill? And you had the ability to paint?
Had the ability to paint, or, you know, okay, first you had the ability to see.
Yes.
Then,
the hills have eyes. Yeah, sure.
The hills have eyes. Well, we've all heard of the hills having eyes.
Wait,
but what about the hills having paintbrushes and access to a canvas? So
hills in the background of the Mona Lisa painted the Mona Lisa, but we still get to see the back of the head. Does that mean Leonardo da Vinci's idea was, what if the hills were seeing this? That's what I'd like to be.
No, you fool. It's not about how good the painting is. It's about the idea that Da Vinci painted it from the perspective of the hill. That's what's beautiful about it.
He's one of the greatest hill painters that has ever existed.
But he was a hill. That's right. That's what you're saying?
Yeah.
Even not that he was like that he's painting hills.
He was himself a hill.
I mean, I guess you could picture that. I mean, you could picture that you go, you know, I think what Leonardo da Vinci was pondering when he painted the Mona Lisa was, what would it be like to be a hill?
Yeah. Well, this is only like if he painted it from behind.
Yeah, absolutely.
I am a hill.
What would it be like to climb to the top of a giant man and paint the landscape you see before you?
Mm. Or the manscape.
Yeah, exactly.
Manscape.
But then, would the hill see out the window of the painting and see Leonardo on the other side?
Yeah, well, presumably the window of the painting.
Absolutely.
You know, that allows you into the art world, that other dimension, the art dimension.
Well, you can all access at any time, just by going to a gallery.
Are you saying that the Mona Lisa was painted through a window?
What? Well, how did he get it? How did he get that perfect rectangular shape?
How did he match the window perfectly to the frames of the picture?
No, I'm saying a painting is a portal into the art dimension. And then, a dimension in which art hills can paint themselves. You know, not themselves.
Yeah.
They would need a mirror for that.
Yeah.
Or a hill that can be a mirror.
Yeah. Or you could go look at that painting of a hill painting itself and it's looking out.
Self-portrait of a hill.
I would love that.
So maybe all just landscape paintings are self-portraits by hills?
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We got this.
You see? Okay, a landscape self-portrait.
We wormed our way through the nonsense to a mildly coherent ending there. Mm.
I mean, that's a fun thing.
But also in general, it's a fun alternative history to write an alternative history wherein Leonardo da Vinci was a hill.
Yeah, absolutely.
Everyone else is who they are.
Yeah.
And the all the rules of the painting dimension still exist as they do in the current.
So 3D and all that kind of stuff?
Yeah. But Leonardo da Vinci is here. Well, like, how different would things have been?
You know, would it have changed?
Yeah. Would he still have sort of designed a prototype helicopter? Probably.
Would all of his vehicles be designed for a hill and not for a human being?
A prototype, like, scooping machine to move hills.
That's true.
Yeah.
So that a hill can...
can locomote. Yeah. Can go places.
Can locomote. The verb to locomote.
Well, a hill can't walk. It's got to get there somehow.
Absolutely. Jackson... is correct, a hill can't walk. Sorry, please continue.
No, you're right. I mean, they can paint and they can invent. but goddammit, we will not let them walk.
Well, if we let hills walk, then the landscape would constantly be changing. You could never build a city or grow a forest. It's not happening.
Sand dunes. They talk about the walking dunes.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Good night.
I'm going to go kill myself now. And those will be my last words, except for these, obviously.
Discounting these words.
Yeah, everything else will be your final
Stop
word.
Listening.
Sand dunes do move, I guess. much like hills cannot. That's true.
Let's change the subject. Sure. What about snakes?
All right. You
know? Hey. What if they could walk?
It annoys me that, speaking of snakes, you know there's that snake that moves side to side, right?
Oh, the sidewinder.
Yeah, sidewinder, exactly. It annoys me that snake and crabs are the only animals that move left and right instead of forward and backwards. That's nonsense and a flaw, I think.
You're an idiot. I can move left and right.
But you're not... Well, yes.
No, I was just going to agree with him. And there's also those dancing horses.
They can move left and right, but they're not restricted to left and right.
No, that's true.
It's what does a crab get? What is the benefit to moving left to right? I don't know.
I guess it depends on whether their eyes... Do their eyes kind of point outwards? So
I think
maybe
their eyes are facing forward.
Okay.
Well, so you're angry that they do move left and right, not that the rest of us don't.
Yeah. Yes, because I can move left and right, but a crab can't move forward and backwards.
Actually, no, I've seen crabs moving forward
and
backwards.
No, there are crabs that can move forward and backwards, but there are also specific crabs that can only move left to right, like the sidewinder, the snake.
He's angry about those ones.
Those specifically are the crabs that give me... I just don't know what is the benefit to the crab.
Ironically, this conversation doesn't seem to move forward.
It's only moving left.
You've created something that you hate.
This is my Frankenstein right here.
Well, we've got the perfect case study. We just need to work out what's the benefit of this conversation.
That's right. And then we can find out why crabs. I mean...
Okay, here's an idea.
Sure.
Right? There's these glasses that you can get.
Sure.
Right? Mm. That basically turn your vision of the world upside down. Mm-hmm. Right? I don't know how they do it. Mirrors or screens, whatever it is. But you put them on, and apparently if you wear them for like 5 or 6 days,
it's
very disorienting for a long time. And then your brain literally rewires... so that you can't tell that you're seeing the world.
Oh, that's cool, that's cool.
It's crazy, right?
Yeah.
So this is my plan, right? You get a crab, you rip off all its legs.
Great.
Right?
Okay.
And then... all right.
Cool. There, I'm 100% on board.
Yep.
And then you put it on a little wheeled contraption,
sure.
Right? That moves forwards and backwards.
Uh-huh.
Right? And you somehow wire that up so that it feeds from the
brain of the crab?
From the brain or the nerve stumps of the crab. So that where the crab would move left and right, now it moves forwards and backwards.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And you wait and see whether or not the crab can thrive.
If it's improved the crab's life in any way.
Mm. I mean, it's arguable that having a wheels underwater...
or even on a beach on the sea.
Even on the beach is going to be automatically going to be a setback.
I like that in a hypothetical, you constricted yourself to realistic wheels as opposed to whatever. You could have given it man legs.
Man legs, you're right, I could have.
That's too much power for the crab. Wheels is enough. That's good. That's keeping the crab at a low level.
Here's another thing you could do. You could just get another crab, right?
I like where this is going.
Turn the crabs at 90 degrees to each other, right? And then sort of hotwire... the crabs together.
Yeah. Then that crab has full 360 movement. I'm a fan of this.
Mm. I'm still ripping the legs off the other crab.
We'll call it the Great Humane Experiment.
Well, that'll be good. Obviously... that'll get past the ethics people.
Yeah. And then obviously, I mean, you eat the crab legs. That way you're not wasting
anything.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then you feed the crab your legs so that it's even. And now yeah, and that'll get it past the ethics board.
Your karmic balance remains the same.
Yeah. This absolutely. Is not inhumane. Yeah. I'm losing my legs as well.
a leg for
you're
a leg.
Right. And they say, you're right, there's a moral imperative that we do this.
Do we?
Yes.
Yeah. But I do like, for some reason, the part that I really loved was the part where you hotwire the two brains together. Because then you got the two personalities of the crabs.
That's
joining
true.
Into like, they're kind of become like just two hemispheres.
And like I like that because I feel like two crab brains will be able to work out what exactly is going on.
They'll work
one.
Together yes. unless one of them was a murderer that is transplanted to a regular crab.
Wait, like a human murderer?
Like how you might get the hand of a murderer?
Okay, yes.
Murdering hand tries to kill people.
Sure. So wait. So the top crab who might not have legs.
Yeah.
He is a murderer, let's say.
Yeah.
And then he realizes he wants to murder his new legs, the bottom crab.
Yeah, yeah.
Is it?
How would he do that now?
The bottom crab wakes up in the night and he's strangling his wife crab.
What hands?
With his hands.
Oh,
we're giving
pincers.
Him murderer's
now,
hands. Oh, he's got pincers.
Here's
got
my question.
Pincers. Yeah.
If you say you want to strangle a crab. Where do you squeeze?
You just wrap your hands around just the whole crab and squish down.
Just,
is that
I argue that's
throat?
Stretching the definition of strangle.
I also, can we I don't think a crab can murder. I don't think that's within a crab's capability.
Really?
To murder. They can kill, but they can't murder.
Sure, it's like, because it's to murder, you have to kind of want
yeah,
to
like a crab has no ill intent toward any other crab, really. maybe
I guess because they don't have any eyelids, so they can't do shady eyes. They can't do like shifty like
crab
side always to side.
Wide eyed. You're right.
That is why they can't murder. You're right.
Well, it's why they can't be proven to have murdered. Right? They can in the court of law,
yeah.
You're unable to prove shifty eyes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which is one
beyond
of the precursors.
Doubt.
Beyond reasonable
yeah.
doubt.
Yeah, absolutely.
Precursors of
I feel like within there was a sketch idea.
But we got rid of it. Don't worry. Yeah. We moved past it.
Whatever it was, we threw
buried
it
out.
It feels like this has been a lot of... You know that Michelangelo quote where he's looking at marble or whatever and he's like, there's the statue within this
yeah.
that I will shift away or
Venus
bring out.
Venus de Milo
yeah.
is
yeah.
within that.
Basically, yeah. he would say that he would just carve away all the bits that aren't Michelangelo's
yes.
David.
Yes, yeah, that's
so
it.
So the listener at home will have to do that.
Carve away every bit that wasn't the
yeah.
sketch, and they'll
yeah.
find it in there.
Like
it's
in
there.
There's probably just like Monty Python's cheese sketch, cheese shop sketch.
Yeah.
But, you know,
in there
somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah,
well,
yeah, yeah.
Look, I think.
Yeah.
Can I dare I suggest that there is a an ethics board type sketch
sure.
in which somebody is trying to get up this idea of gluing two crabs together, ripping off one of their legs
for sure.
But the ethics board then talks them through basically what they'd have to how they'd have to modify the experiment in order to make it to get ethics approval. Amazing that ethics applies to crustaceans.
Absolutely,
in this universe, but. But basically they come to the conclusion that he does have to cut off his own legs and feed them to the crab.
Yeah, yeah, I think that's fair. After a long discussion, they're like, would you be... Because I assume this person that's trying to do the crab experiment is quite hard-headed and is not swaying either way. And they're like, would you do it? If you will allow it, you just have to cut off your own legs as well. And after some thought, this person's
yeah,
like...
Yeah, feed it to the
well,
crab.
Science, I mean, I owe it to science, obviously, to solve this front and back crab conundrum.
I mean, just to see, yeah. I mean, really, he just wants to see if crabs would actually do better, even though evolution proved that somehow crabs did better because they could
move side to side. And even though we do have crabs that can move forward and backwards, is this one specific...
As we established very early on in the riff.
Is this one specific crab that this person's worried about?
I mean, they're right. I mean, maybe that advantage just comes from the fact that there are so many crabs that just move forward and backwards.
That's true.
Normally, that like there's a sort of like a, you know, probably, you know, crabs' main predators or something that usually they come down and try and slam down
someone
on them.
Someone with a fork.
Yeah, like
it's
a big eagle
like picking the crab up to throw it or something.
Yeah, and so most of the time they you know, the brain anticipates the way that they're going to move like that. And so they go, oh, well, it's either going to go forward or backwards. So I'll just align my talons in preparation for that. Then it moves to the side. Helps to survive. Then it goes and obviously has loads of babies.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then...
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Do we think there's a sketch in a restaurant that opens up that is just a section of the beach with crabs, and you call it extremely fresh crabs, and everyone just gets a fork and they go down to where the crabs are coming in,
sure,
stab the crab, eat the crab in one go?
Well, it's like a cook your own burger, yeah, kind of place.
It's a stab your own crab.
It's a stab your own.
You've got like the waiter who would usually gesture to the fish tank, but instead gestures to the crabs,
just to the sea.
The person picks it out, and the waiter's like, and your spear.
Your stabbing fork. Here's your stabbing slam. Fork.
What you're describing here is sort of a curated hunter-gatherer experience. Yeah, almost absolutely. Not a restaurant at all.
No.
But I think broadly speaking, a sort of a hunter-gatherer-style restaurant.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm.
Just a sort of a defined area of nature.
It's sort of just a section cordoned off on the beach. Where
a fancy sign saying hunters.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it would allow you to thwart a lot of sort of like having to do like, you know, keep your restaurant clean,
yeah,
and things like that. Those kind of laws by technically preparing any food yourself.
Mm. Yeah.
And also just really just cordoning off an area and just turning a blind eye while people stab crabs.
Yeah, if a health inspector comes, you're like, I'm not doing anything.
Essentially, yeah. You've sort of, you're just making money off of handing out forks.
Which is not a crime.
Yeah, that's not a crime.
You can just say a crime officer.
Right. Yeah. Officer, handing out forks is not a crime. What the people do with the forks afterwards is their
show
business.
Show me where it says I can't hand out forks.
Exactly. Whilst in the background, crab upon crab is stabbed in the head, back, whatever the top, I guess.
The top of a crab.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's a whole new style of business where you want the minimum amount of investment from yourself.
Yeah.
And the most amount of money returned. So, you know, like, sometimes it could just be you, all people are buying is something that you whisper in their ears.
That's okay? True.
Like, you know, you could just be standing near a forest, and then somebody walks to you, they give you $25, and you go, run like the fucking wind. Like that.
Excuse me?
Run like the goddamn wind. Run like the motherfucking wind.
Just get in there. Like, what?
Woof, and they're off. Yeah.
And then they just go.
Godspeed.
They're minimalist companies. Yeah.
Mm. Just maybe a gunshot off camera.
They're doing it.
Hey, what do I do? Okay. Every bullet I shoot, it's costing me money.
I think if somebody said, run like the wind and shot in the air, I would be off. I don't know what's happening. I will run through the forest until I die. I'm not sure what. Am I being hunted? I can't tell.
Best $25 I ever spent.
I've never felt more alive.
It's so good that started with handing this person money for no reason.
Like it's like, what is the company? Well, it's, you know, it's kind of an exercise, you know, gym. It's sort of like a restaurant.
Back to nature a little bit. You know,
feed you adrenaline.
Yeah. You know, I don't know. We don't want to put boundaries on what this is. In many ways, we're not allowed to put boundaries on here because that would technically make us a real business.
We're on someone else's farm.
Yeah.
Do you circumnavigate the law by just having a sign that says $25 but not what it's for, so that when people give you the $25 you can be like, oh, officer, it's not a crime to give me $25. It's not a crime to pay me for nothing.
It's not a crime to have a sign that just says $25, your officer.
You can't prove this is fraud because there was nothing. There's nothing here.
I was offering nothing.
The special that the sign refers to is nothing. $25 special, that's nothing.
It's nothing. They get nothing. But a whisper in the air and a gunshot, that might be the crime.
Yeah, I mean, I wonder if avoiding being accused of a crime is your end game, whether we needed to introduce the whole firing a gun component, which feels really to be sort of almost tempting the law to want to find something that you've done that's wrong.
Officer, if it's illegal to fire indiscriminately into the air, then take me to jail. Wait, what?
Oh, no! Oh. Stop that!
Maybe we
Officer, get away from me!
That'll be $25.
The weapon seems to not be spooking him.
In the backseat of the police car, leaning forward to the officer and being like, run like the fuck. Just opens the door and bolts out. That's how you get free. Runs off. Yeah. That's great. Yeah. There's so many ways to circumnavigate the law that I never thought of, but I've learned, you know,
yeah,
today.
Well, you know, I did do a...
Circumnavigate the law. Not just circumvent. We want to go all the way around the outside of the law without touching it once.
Was it Magellan who was the first to circumnavigate the law?
Yeah.
It was Magellan.
Come back to the very beginning.
I think in order to truly circumnavigate the law, you would have to evade every single one of... The written laws and also all of the common law precedents.
You would have to get
close.
And that would
be a lot of work.
Because it's kind of like mapping a coastline. You get close to the crime.
Yeah, to see the law.
Exactly.
Just don't cross it.
You take, say, for shoplifting, you take something, you put it in your jacket pocket, you walk just before like the exit to the store and then you turn around and pay for it. You know? You got to just get so close.
Is this edging? Is that what edging is? What is edging? Someone must know.
Surely to circumnavigate, you commit the crime, then come back and uncommit the crime. You walk out with the milk that you've stolen. You go home, drink it, then you go back and pay for the milk.
Or you fill it back with your own milk.
No, I feel like that's a second crime.
Okay. And then you've got to circumnavigate that crime.
I think it's going to take a while. There are a lot of crimes. Mm. But if I bring a knife close to the heart of a friend, but not into the heart, just so that the tip of the knife is barely touching, I circumnavigated? And then I bring the knife back to throw it on the floor.
Now, did you say the heart or, like, the chest?
The chest.
Because those are two quite different things.
Heart, I guess.
It goes into the chest a little bit.
Yeah. See, I didn't touch the heart. I didn't touch the heart.
Your Honor.
You can't get me.
I circumnavigated that one, baby. And
also, my eyes were closed. Semi-closed. 50.
That's right, yes.
Look, I've written down, man tries to circumvent the law but accidentally circumnavigates it. And... I will allow the mind for now to just drift on exactly how that works.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's almost like you could just do a law degree and just sort of go around and find out all law, learn about it, or at least all the edges of law, and then get back to where you started.
If you have a vague understanding of every law, that's kind of like circumnavigating the law.
Well, I think most of us sort of only really know about the edges of the law.
Yeah.
Right? It's like once you sort of get into the law, that's where it's this great unexplored territory.
Mm-hmm. Unless
but
you know...
as you stay outside of the law, I believe, you're fine.
Unless you take every legal document and read all around the page and then go through that.
If you read the front page and the back page, if you've circumnavigated the law.
In the big book of law.
If you go to a judge and you say, have you got the law book? I need to have a quick peek.
My case is in 5 minutes. If I could just skim it, it would help me.
It's when you do the bar exam, but you only pass the first question and the last question. Yeah. Now,
that's why they call it a bar, right? Yeah. Like, you just got to get over it.
Yeah.
That's right, yeah.
And under it.
And under it.
But not in between.
Yeah, not through the
bar. You got to go around the bar. Yeah, we all know.
You got to limbo the bar in a way. In many ways, passing the bar is like a hula party, like a luau. As it were.
As, you know.
Did you say
the law.
Did you say a limber party or a limbo?
I said a hula party, then I realized that's not a thing, then realized I meant to say luau, and I doubled down.
Sure.
Yeah.
But you just said something that made me, that sounded like a Limburg party.
Okay.
And I love that. But anyway, I'm going to go. We have three words from a listener to
inspire. We have absolutely ripped through it today. This has almost drained nothing from my soul, this episode. We've got to have you guys on again.
Absolutely.
So look, the three words of the, you know, Patreon listener Patreon listener is what we refer to them. Somebody who's contributed $3 to the Patreon sends in three words.
Sorry that the Patreon episodes are coming out late this week. Oh, we've got to talk about Harry's.
Oh, yeah.
Alistair, before we do those letters, those words, right, which are made up of letters, I wasn't wrong, you can't prove I was wrong.
These aliens are not going to know what our civilization was like.
Now, this is an interesting ad we've been sent from Harry's.
Yes. Right?
Because I can't help but feel that it's in some way attuned for a North American audience in that it asks us to talk about our plans for the summer. Mm-hmm. So what are you doing for the summer, Alistair?
Well, I'm going to be going down to my parents' place for Christmas.
Oh, see, that's great. Mm-hmm. Maybe I'll go down to my parents' place for Christmas. Anyway,
I am also going to Alistair's Christmas parents' place.
Yeah, you want to come,
Jackson? I'll come as well. Yeah, excellent. Absolutely.
The point is, a lot of guys buy disposable razors when they travel, but this summer, you don't have to sacrifice quality for price. Harry's delivers high-quality, travel-friendly shave supplies at a great low price of just $2 per blade.
Oh.
Right. Now, Alistair, I'd just like to give you the floor for a moment to talk about the Harry's travel case.
Oh, my God. I use it even when I'm not traveling. I put it on at the sink like that, and I pretend like my razor is always on a trip.
That's right.
Yeah. And that's a little
staycation sometimes you like to have.
That's right. Right?
You just put that travel case on there. You just look at that. Maybe you pour yourself a nice glass of something cold, right? That'll take years off your life. No, wait.
I mean, bad years to your razor's life.
It'll make you feel years younger.
Yeah, there it is.
That's right.
Or something.
Yeah.
Anyway, Harry's, the founders of Harry's were two regular guys who were sick of paying too much for overpriced razors.
I'm still sick of it now.
Yeah.
Even though I don't spend that money.
That's right. But Harry's is, quality, durable blades at a fair price, right? And they have a 100% quality guarantee, which is if you don't love your shave, let them know and they'll give you a full refund. How about that? That'll never happen. This summer, refresh your wallet. This warm, warm summer we're having, refresh your wallet and your face with a Harry's trial set. It comes with weighted ergonomic handle for an easy grip, 5-blade razor with a lubricating strip and a trimmer blade for a close shave. Love that trimmer blade.
Mm.
Rich lathering shave gel that will leave you smelling great. I want to be able to eat that shave gel.
Mm-hmm.
Harry's, you get in touch with me. And a travel blade to cover to keep your razor dry and easy on the go. Dry and easy. That's the way I like it. And listeners of our show can redeem their trial set at harrys.com/think tank. Make sure you go to harrys.com/think tank to redeem your offer and let them know we sent you to help support the show.
Oh, my God. Now, the Patreon contributor who has contributed three words today is Mr. Tyrone Elkins.
Tyrone!
What up?
Yeah!
All right.
Okay.
It's a great name. If you're ready for the, we're all ready for the
words.
Yeah, okay.
I'm prepared.
Hypochondriac.
Mm-hmm.
Necrophilia.
Okay.
Banana.
Okay. Oh. Well, I mean, in a way, this one writes itself.
Yeah, it does. It truly does.
Because I mean, you think about the worst person, basically, to be a necrophile.
Absolutely.
It's got to be a hypochondriac.
That's right. Yeah, two conflicting parts of the personality.
That's right.
So, afraid to put his genitals in the corpse.
In a dead banana.
Or her genitals.
Gets a banana and somehow works that into the mix.
Yeah.
Maybe there's something to...
As in like, I guess uses it as their genitals, either way.
Yeah, I was sort of imagining for some reason putting the peel over your genitals like a...
Well, dare I say that in some this almost ties into something that we were talking about before the podcast,
sure.
Which is our new monkey god religion. Mm-hmm. Bear with me. Mm-hmm. Where in the burial ceremony, and you guys will all remember this from when you came up with it before. The burial ceremony involves peeling a giant banana, putting your body into the skin of the giant banana, sewing it up, and then pushing it out to sea so that it can be eaten by the monkey god and defecated out, and he can throw the feces containing your soul into heaven.
Yeah.
That's right.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And that can be for people who... And the people who get buried like this are the people of this community who are...
necrophiliacs?
Necrophiliacs. Necrophiliacs in that they love to fuck a dead banana.
Sure. Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
But they're really worried about catching diseases from
which
it.
Is fair. Mm. Which is so fair. I would be too. I'm not a hypochondriac, but no. If I fucked a rotten banana, I would be concerned for my genital health.
I have to just assume there's something going on there. You look at a dead banana and I'm like, there's just something I know I don't want inside me in that.
That's right,
absolutely,
yeah.
Absolutely, yeah. Mm. I think that's the way to go about it.
I mean, unless they're hypochondriacs and they decided to all move away from regular society where diseases are, and they moved to an island, and
that has giant bananas that they can be buried in.
It's a good giant banana island.
Yeah,
and they obviously the other thing is that they're all necrophiliacs.
They just happen to be. Is there
the only way that they can you know safely have sex with dead bodies?
Yeah,
is having people who get a clean bill of health who. Mm-hmm. Are allowed onto the island. That's what you have to do to get onto the island.
Yeah, okay.
And then when they die, then you know you can safely have sex with
that's
their bodies.
That's true. What?
Using
this
a banana.
This is a real hypochondriac, necrophiliac nirvana.
That's right.
It's a banana nirvana.
Is there something to encasing the dead body in the banana peel in a, as a way of making it more hygienic? To make love to down the track, or to flavor it in a way, is kind of what I was imagining.
To get rid of the bad smell, of course.
I guess that would definitely help a lot.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Now, here's the problem. We know that putting a banana with other fruit causes it to ripen, go off more quickly. Is the banana actually going to speed up the decomposition of the corpse? Mm-hmm. And if so, maybe that's something you want. I mean, if you like doing it with a dead body, maybe you it's the more dead,
the better.
Maybe
the
a
better.
Bit of that putrefaction is...
that's a word, isn't it?
Yeah.
Maybe, though, there's a stress there to cooking the dead body for too long so that when you peel the banana, a skeleton falls out. You're like, "This, I've cooked it.
You've already done it. Yeah.
Unless that's what you want.
But then, but if you what you want is, like, really dead and you want, like, you know, ultimate decomposition.
More than a little dead.
Would it be better to just stick your dick in the dirt? Or...
In a way, yes. I think so.
You know,
well, we all return to the earth, don't we?
Yeah.
In a way, if you put your dick in the dirt, aren't you making love to all creatures that have ever died?
Yeah. I think so. I think so. Yeah, absolutely. And it's less of a crime as well.
And that's why they went to this island. It's an island with soft soil.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And that way as well, for future generations, they can find those little pockets of oil if we still need them.
That's right.
Okay. And we got there.
And so I believe that is the end of all those ideas. So before we do the song, wait... I'll do
the song. We'd like to. Do you take us through? You take us through the sketches before we do the song.
Yeah,
don't you?
Yeah.
Right. But also, should we mention the show again? The Magma Revival season.
Sure.
Right. We're doing it. We're doing an encore season. Three shows only of our critically acclaimed show Magma from the Melbourne International Comedy Festival. If you missed it, or even if you saw it, or even if you saw it and missed it. Please come again to the show at the Butterfly Club on the 1st, 2nd, 3rd of August. It's going to be ripper.
And
we
so
might
good.
Even fix some of the flaws.
Yeah, and please trick a large group of people into coming as well.
Yes, we don't care how you do it, as long as you trick them.
We went and saw it last comedy festival. Was great. All right, everybody
thank
listening.
Thank you so much.
It was very
so
much good. For coming.
We had a blast.
Unbelievable.
Very funny.
Endlessly kind of you.
No, you guys are way funnier.
No. No, that is not the case at all. Okay.
This has been distressingly much better than most of the other episodes of the podcast. So really, it's demonstrably...
Really, because I'm genuinely going to apologize afterwards.
Don't worry. Everyone does.
Yeah.
Everyone does. Alistair and I, we do a ritual apology to each other.
We hug, we cry. It's kind of good for the soul. It feels like
it's healthy.
You build failure into your life like that. You learn to accept it. It's
absolutely.
All right. So we got Aliens Finding Two Guys Talking podcast. You know, it's just on some USB
that's
fossilized.
The dream. That's the hope. I mean, that's why we're doing this, right?
Exactly.
When people talk about living on through your art, I assume that's what they mean. That someone discovers it in the future and reanimates you. Otherwise, I'm not interested in any of that bullshit.
Exactly. And so then they try to recreate humanity based on just that. Then we also have sort of based off of this idea is Earth is an alien piss stop. This is, you know, all the gray, what are they called?
Gray nomads. Gray nomads, that's right.
Gray nomads, the alien gray nomads are coming here and they're just using us as just a piss stop or worse.
Yeah, exactly.
Or a vomit so stop.
Oh, no good. Drive by, vomit out the window, keep
no
going.
Drunk
don't even
aliens.
Slow down.
Drunk aliens piling out of the... astral.
Yeah.
Astral.
No. Of a mini boss or whatever, spewing their guts out and moving on.
Even, you know, just it's just stuff that kind of floats into our atmosphere, burns real hot, adds that vomit smell to the entire planet, and then off they go.
No good.
Then we got the look. I wrote this down because I think that it's a good idea of just it's a sketch. It's a war room, and they're planning a war.
Yeah.
And then one guy's contribution is always, yeah, but maybe that's what they want. And they go, oh yeah, well we better not do that. Well, we go
in. I'm glad you're here, Larry. That's why we pay you.
We get a SWAT team in, you know, into the palace. They'll kill the Sultan. Oh my god, this is in the Middle East. I don't know why we're assassinating.
Are you doing Zero Dark 30?
Maybe, yeah. They'll kill the Sultan, and they go, but maybe that's what they want. You go, you're right.
Maybe we stay here and kill each other.
Yeah. War comes to a standstill because of guys like that.
We gotta, and we start a group. It's just about infiltrating all war rooms with just one guy who says that, and that's how we. That's
world peace.
That's a great one to have, like the movie poster with like a Liam Neeson looking in an action pose, and the title is The Indecisive. Yeah. Something like that.
And there's one guy kind of like looking from the side going. going, oh baby.
It's still just the poster for Taken.
Yeah.
But we just write the words "maybe you'll miss" in front of it. It'll save a lot of money. You know, these marketing budgets are always real big.
That's true. Easy. There are probably plenty of those posters.
You just need
around.
One guy and some lipstick to go around to just
updating.
Yeah,
them all.
Just updating all the ones that exist. Exactly. That's cheap. That's so cheap. You get cheap lipstick because I know lipstick can be quite expensive.
That's true. No, that's fair. That's absolutely true.
I just get you know people go around sometimes looking just picking up like little cigarette
butts
and smoke those.
But just
somebody who does that goes to different bins and finds all the mostly used lipstick.
Yeah. This,
and then that's how we'll save
even
more money.
The apparently still remaining Taken posters.
I know we're currently going through the sketches that we have just created.
Yeah.
But there's a great sketch there in trying to, knowing that your movie's bad, so trying to make up the money in cutting from the marketing budget.
What if our ads? What if our ads on TV are just a guy saying, "Go see the film that we film in a cafe"?
Come on, please.
But we're still broadcasting them on TV.
Yeah, absolutely. I still imagine it as a trailer for some reason.
Then we have the landscape self-portrait. This is a world in which hills can paint. I think it's just a guy.
The hills can paint.
So it's a, you know, it's probably just a guy taking somebody around a gallery, and he's going, "No, this is another landscape." Did I mention that these are all self-portraits? That's what's very interesting about these is that these are hills that can paint. We had the idea when we visited a zoo in Thailand where they're getting elephants to paint. We thought, well, an elephant was painting hills. And I thought, well, if this is drawing a crowd, including me, what if the hills themselves could paint? And we decided to start sticking a paintbrush.
Just into the dirt.
Just into the dirt.
Go
see
for
what
it.
Happens.
I'm not saying they're good. It's not that they're good, it's that they're doing it at all.
That's the notable part.
Series of blank canvases that are known as post-hill.
That is abstract. And then we have an alternate history.
Yeah.
It's just a sketch. It's an alternate history where Leonardo da Vinci was a hill.
Yeah, great.
And so that's kind of good. It's kind of
this is
of
one of those ones that just writes itself, really. Well, I like that. Barely need to go into Alistair knocked over his microphone.
Then we got obviously there's the ethics board sketch, which by the way I've not seen ethics board sketches yet.
Well, for a podcast that routinely comes up with at least 3 boardroom sketches per episode, the fact that we haven't done an ethics board,
it's rich for sketches.
Yes, it's rich because then it's like it's just psychological,
philosophical. We're in the meat of existence already.
Yes, absolutely.
That's where we are.
Exactly.
And
the meat.
And what they're doing is, it's the ethics board sketch for removing the crab legs experiment, seeing how crabs would do if they could not just walk side to side, but also forward and back like other crabs.
What if crabs were like other crabs? That's all I'm saying.
What I want to know is, I know there are crabs that could move forward and back. but not these ones. So I thought,
one of the ones that can't could.
You need to be delivering it through puffs of a cigarette. Yeah.
What if
these crabs are at a disadvantage? That's my question.
And would it help them to have their legs broken and then put back, but like proper and like, but not proper for them, but proper for other crabs? I'm willing to break my legs for that.
I'll let them eat my legs if that's what it takes.
Yeah.
The ethics board are very hesitant until you say you're willing to break your legs for that. Then they're like,
Well, it just didn't seem fair. Then we got the minimalist companies. These are companies that, you know, we're sort of minimalist entrepreneurs. And yeah. So it's just you stand on the side of a forest with a sign that just says $25. And then, you know, it's a little bit like, you mean, it's like taking an idea from those. And then they give you the money and you whisper in their ear.
Well, but also, I mean, someone standing by the edge of the forest with a sign that says $25. I mean, I want to know what it's for.
You gotta.
I'm going to go up to them and they're saying, well, I'm sorry, I can't tell you. You gotta
pay first.
Yeah, you gotta pay your $25.
It's
you want to
find
that
natural human curiosity.
Yeah.
Absolutely. If you found that and you had $25 cash in your wallet, there is no way you're not doing it. There's no world in which you don't pay this person.
Yeah. Exactly.
And then when they whisper in your ear, run, you've already paid the $25. So you're like, I better.
You know this guy doesn't have much to lose.
Absolutely.
Maybe his sign, but...
You're like, I better get the best out of this sprint. I paid $25 for it.
You think you could lose the sign? That'd be pretty bad for you. Anyway. Man tries to circumvent the law, but he accidentally circumnavigates it.
Interesting because really, I think it sort of posits a world in which the law, we're outside the law and the law is sort of an island within, but really more like the law is around the outside of us.
Yeah,
like
sure.
Like we are circumnavigated by the law.
That's true. Yeah.
Anyway.
Unless you're in international waters where anything goes.
That's true.
That's a good point. Mm. In a way, that's where the law... That's if you're going to do it anywhere.
I mean, you could just try to state, like, you just try to... escape the grasp of all laws?
Well, I guess then circumnavigating the law is exactly the same as circumnavigating the world. Was Magellan the first man to circumnavigate the law? Isn't that what you said already?
No, Adam.
Yeah. Apparently, he actually didn't. But, he wasn't there for the entire time.
But I think there are still...
He died on the trip. Oh, sorry,
no.
Please.
No. But
did you Google this while you
No,
were
I didn't. I just happened to know that he died before he could complete it. I'm looking forward to emails from people being like, Adam, you're a freaking idiot.
Oh, yeah. They're going to email you.
Yeah. Do you want to? Yeah.
Personal emails.
Do you want to give out your personal email? Because, to be honest, sometimes it can be hard to get, you know, a reaction out of people.
If you want to email me, you can. Yeah. Absolutely. Jackson.Bailey@gmail.com.
That's not even me. I don't know. Who's
Yeah. I like how creative your names are for things.
Thank you.
There's All Dogs Are Dead. Yeah. That's your Twitter.
The Skeletons Have No Butthole is my Instagram.
Instagram.
I've discovered that's actually what my name is considered to be on Instagram. So where it gave me first and last name, I wrote that for some reason. I don't know why. These are
skeletons
things I get in trouble
have?
For. Skeletons Have No Butthole.
No, but which one's the first part?
No, it's just a first name, no last name. Like, sure.
Okay,
Skeletons
right.
Have No Butthole.
Like, sorry,
all
like
one
what?
Word? Or
like share?
But is it all one word? Or
yeah,
is
all
it...
one word, yeah.
Skeletons Have No Butthole, all one word.
Yeah.
Like share.
Does she have one name? Sure.
Sure.
Sure she does.
And then we have, of course...
Sure, she does.
The necrophile Banana Island.
Which
is a sketch that writes itself.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Again.
Yeah.
Again.
Those three words and you're already thinking of it.
Thank you so much for listening to the podcast. We absolutely deeply appreciate it. Alistair?
Yep. Where can we find you, you fellas?
As you asked that, I had a big bit of phlegm in my throat. Could have gone worse than it did, though. Things worked out for me.
Cooperatively, you can find us at Sans Pants Radio.
Yep.
Although Jackson is as previously stated.
I am at All Dogs Are Dead on Twitter if you want to tweet me for whatever reason.
I'm at Retro Archetype.
Yeah.
Ooh.
I know.
Is that
what's that about?
I a long time ago, when I was coming up with my online handle, I Googled unusual words and picked two.
I mean, it sounds like an art pop band.
Yeah.
It really isn't. Yeah, I don't know what I was thinking. I was like 16, so.
Wow. Sure. How long ago were you 16?
Don't like to think about that. 12 years?
12 years ago.
Yeah.
Congratulations on still being youthful.
That's a healthy age.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's lucky.
Oh, am I youthful?
Yeah, you're youthful.
You've got a youthful countenance.
We're becoming decrepit.
I think so. I've hit haggard.
Have you? I'm so
at
sorry.
The peak, and it's all haggard for me.
You think you've hit haggard?
Yeah, I'm fairly sure.
It's a feeling, yeah. You can find us, me and Alistair TB.
I'm at Stupid Old Andy.
And we're at Two in Tank.
Two in Tank. Mm-hmm. You can check out the new Illustrated Alistair Twitter account, which is people doing drawings of things Alistair has said on Alistair Lists Everything.
So that's lots. I'm also doing Alistair Lists Everything as part of Shusher Guided Meditations. Somebody just reviewed the podcast saying that it helps their son with ADHD go to sleep.
Aww.
And I mean, I'm like, I've never thought I would ever help anybody, and I want you to know
especially
that is...
Especially not someone with ADHD.
And I want you to know that wasn't my goal, but it's lovely to think that there's somebody yeah. who's getting some kind yeah. of benefit out
of it. That's incredible.
That's great.
And then there was that other lady who said that she masturbates to the podcast. And so that's...
that's a two-pronged
approach. I mean, the breadth of people who are being helped by this podcast.
That's wonderful.
So
to this podcast.
So that was for Shusher Guided Meditations.
Yeah. I mean, this would be hard to masturbate to.
It wouldn't be hard. All that banana stuff.
Yeah, are you kidding me?
People, plunging their penises or vaginas into the dirt.
Are you kidding me? For real? Pure eroticism, right there.
Yeah. No, you're right. You're right.
You can support us on Patreon. You can also review us, and that brings us joy. Both of them do.
Yeah.
You can also just keep listening. We love that. And I think
you can. And
we love you.
Oh, thanks.
No problem.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
I mean, if you want, it's up to you.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.